why we have diversity. Ooh. So that says, if you can read it, D.L. Moody said this, and I've used this before, but I was thinking about this over the last few days. Holiness is what you are in the dark. I love that. Holiness is what you are in the dark. So, what is holiness? That's not a rhetorical question. Because we all want to be holy, don't we? We expect holiness. The Lord expects holiness. And so we want to be holy. So here is a scriptural reference, would be Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men in holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. We do have some scriptures that are going to come up on the screen, but that isn't one of them. So the word holy is translated from the Hebrew word kadesh, which means set apart for God. Set apart for God. Do you want to be set apart for God? Do you want to? There's an old traditional church word that kind of covers that. Sanctified. Do you want to be sanctified? Do you want to be consecrated? Do you want to be set apart for His own use? Can I just lay it on the line and put my cards on the table? Yes. Wholeheartedly, yes. I want that in my life. I want to be that for Him. Consecrated, separated, a sanctified person set apart for God. How good is that? It doesn't get a whole lot better than that. I can stand here and tell you how wonderful you are, how beautiful God thinks you are, and all those different things. And I could wax lyrical about that for a long time. But I won't, because you're probably bored of that by now. But He thinks you're great. He thinks you're that great that His passion, that His desire, I mean, we just sang that John Mark McMillan song, or Mark John McMillan, you know the song, the one we just sang. And it's all about how much He loves us. It's quite a descriptive song. There's two versions. How, do you know, a passionate kiss or a sloppy wet kiss? And that, whatever version you like, will put a different image in your head, but He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves. It's so good. And He loves you that much. And we need to come to that realization every day of just how much He loves us. It says, He is jealous for me. All the way back to Genesis, to the beginning, from then, when He created the universe, you know, because that's the same God that lives in you. And you think, how amazing is He? And how even more amazing that while He did that, He desires to live inside every one of us. This is where it starts to get difficult for me, because I feel like my head just gets bigger because I can't comprehend how much that means. It's amazing. So, He has called us to be set apart for His use, to be consecrated in His name, so that we can be His. So, have we got the next verse? We have some verses. Ah, so good. This is a great verse. It's an amazing verse. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 to 12. This is wonderful. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I highlighted that red deliberately. God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. That is so good. That is so good. You look at the beginning. You are a chosen people. You're a chosen people. We are chosen people. Now, you might say, ah, but John was that? No, Israel was that? No, the Jews. In the Old Testament, it was. And it still is. However, if you've read the book of Romans, it tells us that we are grafted in to be part of that chosen people of God. We are a chosen people. But not just that. We're a royal priesthood. Do you know that you, because you accepted Jesus, you are now of an aristocracy that is not of this world. You have royal lineage. That's a special thing. That's something different. And that's something that not everybody has, but everybody can have. It is open to us all, but we're a royal priesthood. Royalty has privileges. And one of the greatest privileges that we have is that as a royal priesthood, we are children of the King. We are children of the King. Not just any King, but the King of Kings. And he has called us. And we're a holy nation. But then if you look at the bit after that, God's special possession. You can go up to somebody and you can be telling them whatever you want, telling them your story, and you can just say to them, hey, can I let you into a secret? I don't know if you know this, but it's kind of embarrassing really, but do you know that I'm God's special possession? You can say that. But it's not just you, but you're his special possession. That is how much he loves you. And the song that we just sang at the end conveys that to a certain extent. But we need to start to understand this, but not just in here. We need to get that in here. We are his special possession. And then that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. I have to tell you that this passage, probably more than most others, fills me with a great sense of excitement. Because when you grasp that you're chosen, that you're a royal priesthood, that you're a holy nation, that you're God's special possession, man, that's a game changer. That is a game changer. It's fantastic. You're his special possession. You've got to love that. He's called us to holiness. Be holy, for I am holy, the Lord says. We want to be like Jesus, don't we? I do. A few of you do as well, which is great. So you want to be like Jesus. And where you know where. We're no talking. I have an action figure. Jesus, is he up there? I'm no talking about looking like that. He's got one arm now. I don't mean that. But we're no talking about looking like Jesus with a beard and the robes and the whole thing. We want to look like him in holiness. We want to look like him in character. We want to look like him in doing the things that he did. Obviously, things are different culturally and in context, but we do the same kind of thing. We do the same kind of stuff. That's what we want. We want to be like him. Can we move on to the next verse? So Matthew chapter 6 is where we're going for the rest of the morning. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. Now, I'm not going to say who it is. Some of you do know. But, and I don't mean this to puff anybody up, but something happened in our church in the last fortnight which completely blew me away. Completely. Where we've had a couple of homeless guys hanging about for a few weeks. They're so nice. They're lovely guys. They're friendly. They're sociable. And they've chosen to be in the situation they're in. And they do it well. They really do it incredibly well. They have a few pounds so they can feed themselves. So they're no, like, destitute and the whole thing. They've chosen to do what they're doing. But a couple in our congregation took them home. Let them have a bath or a shower. Gave them something to eat. And I'm like, this fulfills the gospel. It fulfills the gospel. Yeah, how else do you fulfill the gospel? You do that. You do stuff. Show me your faith without deeds. They're the kind of deeds we're looking for, folks. I'm just gobsmacked at how good a thing that is. Have they practiced their righteousness in front of other people? No, there was some people who saw maybe they left together in here, but we haven't put it up on the screen. We don't have a bulletin. We're not going to put it on the website. Their reward is in the future, in eternity. But what they've done completely blows me away. I love that. I think, in fact, no, I don't think. I know that that's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to be. That's being Jesus. That's being Jesus to these two guys. And it's amazing. Then he says, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets to be honoured by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Holiness is what you are in the dark. Have you ever been in a place where it's that dark that you can't see your hand in front of your face? Three people. It's quite strange. It's a weird sensation. And it was a wee bit toward that. It wasn't quite that, but moving from a city to somewhere like Port Stewart was a wee bit like that. Do you know? And so, but there's much darker things than that. There's the secret place. There's the place where no one else sees what you're doing, why you're doing it, and who you're doing it with. That's the secret place. Nobody sees what's going on there. So, you know the whole saying, when you hear about fine, upstanding people, and then you hear that, oh no, everything's crumbled for them. That's such a shame. And then there's always somebody who comes in and says something along the lines of, aye, but you just don't know what goes on behind closed doors. Don't you? You always get some. There's always one. But it's true, isn't it? You don't know what goes on behind closed doors. I don't know what goes on most of the time in your house. You don't know what goes on in mine. Probably end up on Facebook, wouldn't it? But so I'm not on Facebook, as you know, and that's the main reason. But so that you're giving, maybe in secret, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. I want rewards that are not of this world. I want rewards that come eternity. I'm reaping the benefits. I'm not trying to chalk up a score against other people. I don't mean it like that. But when the Lord tells us that we can have a reward in heaven or at another time, that's the reward I'm looking for. I'm not looking for gain today or next Thursday or whatever. I'm looking for something more than, it might not feel tangible now, but the reality of that in the future will be incredible. Willie, can we go to the next one, please? Matthew 6, verses 5 to 8. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. What is done in secret, in the secret place. When you pray, go into your room, close the door. It's talking about a place of solitude. So somebody gave me this advice very early on as a Christian, talking about establishing and developing a devotional prayer life. That when you pray, it's probably best not to go and sit in the foyer of the biggest hotel in the city. I got what he meant. I'm easily distracted, and I won't bore you with the intricacies of that because you know them, but I'm easily distracted. It does not take much for me to be distracted. You might be the same, and therefore if you are, my suggestion is go into your room or go to somewhere that doesn't have them wee things lying about that you go, oh, that you forgot was there, but you knew was there in the long run. Go somewhere where you're not going to be distracted. If you're not easily distracted, then I don't know what that feels like. It must be great. It'd be so good. I have no concept of how that must feel at all. It must be blissful. You can sit in any room and nobody and just switch off. How good would that be? I'd love that. If you have that, can we chat later? Can we go to the next one, Willie? When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others their fasting. Truly I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. I don't know if you know the principle, but in scripture, when something's repeated three times, it usually means there's some significance in it. And so it's for emphasis. And so this has all come from Matthew chapter 6. It's used the word secret at least, four times. And four times in that short a passage usually means something. We don't have that same understanding in the way that we write in English. It's just not the same. But there's an emphasis here. It's trying to get something across that what you do in secret, what you do privately, has an impact in what will happen in the future. Oftentimes, in the way that the world thinks, is that doesn't make any sense. No one's going to see that. You do what you can, and as busy as a place, make as big a show of it as is humanly possible, and then everybody knows you did it and they think you're great. Those people obviously haven't read Matthew 6. This is one of the reasons when we did the barbecues during Love Enniskillen, and the guy turns up with the camera and the whole thing, and I just get really uncomfortable with that, because we don't do those things to be recognised, to be noticed, and to receive a human reward. And after, so Paul and I end up holding up burgers and sausages and end up in some daft picture. He looked great on the back page. And I'm just like, there's our reward. That's it. Sorry.
Their reward was that's the least amount of paper they ever sold them.
Yeah. We put it, well, some people put it on Facebook for them. So, but I don't want that kind of reward. I'm not looking for that. I'm not looking for fame or fortune. I don't want to see my name in lights. I have a reward that I'll get in heaven for whatever it is I do and whatever it is that you do. It's exactly the same. Don't go with what the world says and be as dramatic and flamboyant and as showy as you can be at the Diamond and, ho-ho, it's me, how are you? John Shades, do you know the whole thing? I'm not for that. I don't like that. It's just no my thing. I want some of this. Holiness is what you are in the dark. I would encourage everybody in the room to build up what's called a secret history with Jesus that nobody else knows about. Where things happen in that place where you don't ever tell anybody. You don't even tell your spouse. Where just the intimacy that you experience with Jesus is kind of like, do you remember in Superman? In Superman, and the one Richard Pryor was in? Like, you never heard of me and Superman? Superman and me? He's kind of trying to establish that there was a relationship between him and Superman that just really never existed. Let's build up a relationship that really does exist. But you don't need to go in front of people and say, hey, you never heard of me and Jesus? Jesus and me? I'm his special possession. Do you not know that? We don't want any of that. What's going to happen is this. You build up a special secret history with him. You're not going to have to tell anybody that you have that relationship with him, because they're going to see it. Your life will be transformed to beyond what you can even imagine. And when you encounter other people, that the presence of God is going to be with you, the power of the Holy Spirit is going to be with you, and things are just going to happen that you might not even know about. That's what happens when you develop and establish a secret history with Jesus. So, talking about holiness is what you are in the dark. Because I'm not blessed with non-distraction, I have to pray in the dark. So, when I saw that quote for the first ever time, I thought, whoa, D.L. Moody was the same. Now, maybe he wasn't, but I got excited. Doesn't it take much, trust me. And so, holiness is what you are in the dark. Build up a secret history. Go and steal. So I'm going to give you a challenge. Do you remember? Everything's a visual thing for me, because I'm easily distracted, remember? And so, do you remember years ago there used to be an advert on TV, and it was called the Pepsi Challenge? Who remembers that? And they had the big yellow cover things over the cups, and then they would pull them off, and they were like, you drink this drink, and they would drink it, and then they would drink the other one, and it was essentially, I mean, let's cut to the chase, it was, can you tell the difference between Coke and Pepsi? You can't you? Easy. Would you have passed that challenge? I would have. So easy. So, anyway, I digress. So, I have a challenge. And here's my challenge. This is good. You might like this. So the challenge is this. Every day, we'll be really gracious and we'll let you start tomorrow. So we'll start on Monday, okay? And do this. Trust me, this is great. 30 minutes, you and Jesus, alone time. No distractions. If you're like me, in the dark, shut the curtains and the whole thing. 30 minutes with Jesus, just you and him, nothing else. No Bible, just sit in the dark and talk to him. Tell him everything. He likes it. But now, there's a health warning on this. In time, don't be surprised if he answers back. That's the scary bit. But when you have a relationship with your spouse, or your brother or sister, or your best friend, or whoever you have that relationship with, you don't just talk at them and expect them to say nothing, eh? They're going to answer you back. It's the same with Jesus. He's got a whole lot more to say than you have. So 30 minutes. Starting tomorrow. In the secret place. Somebody asks you, try to get a hold of you there. Put your phone off. Leave it in a different room. Because if you were having a meeting with the boss of your company, or if you were at an interview, or you were at something, you'd turn your phone off, wouldn't you? You would. Nobody else would. No, but you would turn your phone off. And it's the same when you're having a meeting with Jesus. Turn your phone off. Leave it in another room if you're at home. And then just spend time with him for 30 minutes. Now, the challenge is do it every day, but see within a month, there is not a chance that you will keep that at 30 minutes. No way. If you do it and you stick at it. So tomorrow's the 17th of August. So if you do this starting tomorrow until the 17th of September, and then come and talk to me and tell me after a month, have you done the 30 minutes every day, and was 30 minutes long enough? Because I believe this, that in a few weeks' time, if we get as far as that, you'll be like, John, 30 minutes isn't long enough. I need to steal more time. That's good. Spend more time with Jesus. Change things. And just develop a secret history with him. Can you go back to the 1 Peter 1, Willie? So there. Become part of that holy nation. God's special possession. Because you are his special possession. He loves you. He thinks you're absolutely wonderful. He just thinks you're great. He looks at you. And he just is jealous for you. To spend time with you. He wants to. There's a passage in Jeremiah 33, I believe it is. He wants to tell you unfathomable things. What word did you use?
Unsearchable.
He wants to tell you unsearchable, unfathomable things that are his things, and he wants to tell you them. That's how special you are. And he wants to do that now. He wanted to do that yesterday and last week, last month. But as soon as you come to him and you say, God, I want to be ready. I'm trying to be as ready as possible and I want to do this thing. Do you think he's kind of like, no, you again. You had your chance. No. He probably just looks at you with the biggest smile on his face and he's thinking, wonderful. I have been waiting so long for this time because you will not believe the things that I want to tell you. Does that give you goosebumps? Gives me goosebumps. But that's how much he loves you. That's what he wants to do. And I think he wants to prepare us for that. There's a time of preparation. So, do you want to stand? We're not going to do anything weird or wacky or anything. We're going to pray. And God is here. The Holy Spirit is present in the room. And we're just going to simply ask him to increase his presence. And by that, I'm just going to ask if there is anything specific that he wants to do with us right now. That he would do it now. We don't give God permission to do stuff. He's in charge. However, sometimes, because of who we are, we put him in a box and we restrict what we allow him into. He knows you better than you know yourself. Remember, he wants to tell you the deepest secrets of heaven, unfathomable things, unsearchable things. Let's just wait. Let him do what he wants to do in our lives instead of what we want. Father, thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are here in the room. God, we want to give you the place that you deserve in our lives. Father, would you forgive us for restricting you and what you can do in our lives. We ask that you forgive us for that. And would you lead us to a place now where you're in charge, where you can do that which you want to do in our lives. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you would increase your presence now. there's a few things happening at the moment. And some people might be feeling a bit twitchy, shaking a wee bit. And that's just the presence of God in the room. That's fine. And other people might be experiencing some other things in your body. That's fine. There's some people here just now and you're feeling like a sensation in your hands. In both your hands. And everybody's eyes are closed. If you're feeling that in your hands, I'm going to ask you to put your hand up. Thank you. Anybody else? Just put your hand up. They might feel hot. They might have that kind of sticky kind of feeling. You might feel tingling in your hands or burning. Any of those sensations in your hands, if there's anybody with that, just put your hand up. We only want to pray for you. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, so two people put their hand up. There's more people who are feeling that, but that's okay. Father, I just pray for the people who are feeling that sensation in their hands right now, that you increase your anointing for healing on them right now in the name of Jesus. That you bless them with more of your spirit. That you fill them up. Come and fill them with your Holy Spirit right now in the name of Jesus. More of that, God. Now, I believe that God wants to heal some people. And if there's anybody in this room, and I know this is a sensitive issue, but no one's looking. If you're struggling with stress at the moment, can you put your hand up? Because we would love to pray for you. Thank you. Okay. Anybody else? To use a colloquial term, you've been stressed out of your box recently. If that's you, we want to pray for you. For the anxiety that you have going on right now, the Lord wants to take that away. He sees it. And there are more people in the room. And Lord, would you show your the people who are struggling with stress that you can set them free? There's freedom for you this morning from stress. Who else has got that? Thank you. So we want to pray for those people that are struggling with stress at the moment. Going to ask the Lord to take that away. Anybody else, if you're sick and you're in pain, is there anybody here who's struggling with heartburn and indigestion? And reflux? Anybody? If that's you, could you put your hand up? We'd love the opportunity to pray for you. Okay, now this is the boldest step you've taken this morning. If you responded to the stress thing, I want you to remain standing and for everybody else to sit down, please. And then some people are just going to come and pray for you. So because you've opened your eyes and you've sat down and there's some people getting prayed for, God's still here. He's still in the room and he still wants to do stuff. So I'm just going to close the meeting. If you have to go and get your kids, then you can do that. You're allowed to come back. You know, everything's fine. Don't worry. But we're just going to close the meeting. People will be praying and whatever and chatting. So that's fine. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your presence. I thank you how much you love us. And I just pray now in Jesus' name that you would touch people where they're at. And for the stress and the anxiety, we just take authority over that and command it to go right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
What heart could hold the weight of your love?